here on The Green Majority, and we're going to be speaking to Kevin Farmer. I also have Leah back in the studio as well. Are you there, Kevin?
Hi, Darren.
And how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. So I wanted to talk a little bit today. I sort of picked our topic this week because something grabbed my attention. Having to do with the American debates, obviously, or Canadian show, we mostly talk about Canadian politics, but American politics is highly relevant to Canadian politics for obvious reasons. I would hope for most people, obviously, we're extremely linked through trade and obviously and through policy, and there's a lot of information sharing going back and forth, and there seems to be sort of increasingly tied together the longer we go. So one of the things that had been pointed out, now we're just kind of referring to a Huffington Post article, an opinion piece, but was talking about the success of a public campaign to get 160,000 signatures for support of asking a question regarding climate change during the first presidential debate. And the kind of gist of the article and a kind of point which I think I very much voice as well was the ridiculousness of needing 160,000 signatures to ask a question about something that's scientifically pretty much certain. To the sake that, you know, to the essence of that science is certain about anything, they're certain about climate change. And I just sort of thought that whole idea was ridiculous, and I was sure that you would have something to say about that. But anyway, I'll sort of let you go first if you want, but your sort of reaction to, first of all, the campaign itself, and then sort of my point about it being ridiculous that this was even necessary to get a single question asked about such an important issue.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. Climate change is an existential threat, and it has completely dropped off the radar of American politics. You know, anyone who follows environmental news knows that the state of the discourse in the states regarding climate change has really dried up. But a couple of sentences from the article that you're referencing, I just want to read them out because they really highlight it. The article says, according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, recent analysis shows that from February to July of 2012, 37 of the 40 climate references made by Fox News Channel were misleading. Only 3 were accurate. And a one-year look at the Wall Street Journal, with more than 2 million daily readers and the largest circulation among American newspapers, reveals that 81% of the opinion page coverage was misleading. So you know, even from their news sources, we can't even get informed debate coming from, you know, widely viewed news sources. It's given the complexity of the issue, it would just be impossible to suppose that you know, kind of the average, the so-called, the mythical average person would have a clear understanding of climate change when they can't even trust their news sources, who, you know, I mean, these news organizations have editorial boards, they have research staff, and they can't even make accurate commentary about climate change. It's no wonder that the people who are aware of the issue are pushed to the extreme of having to petition to get a single question about an existential threat in the presidential debate.
Mm. I think. Well, I mean, I think to be fair, and I guess that's not being terribly fair, but to be as fair as we can be, a part of the issue with with this whole idea of reporting and misinforming, I mean, you'll note, of course, the listener should note that when you're reading that one-year listing, that was 81% of opinion pieces. The reason they went with that statistic, one, was the kind of drastic number that had misinformation in them, but also that there are far more opinion pieces being published about these topics than news pieces, if you will. And the distinction there is important, which is that when there's an opinion piece, really there's not a lot of fact-checking that's done because the newspapers are losing a lot of their revenue, and so a lot of the staff has been come back. We've covered that. That's part of the reason why supporting the Green Majority, by the way, is such an important idea, because mainstream news outlets are losing, you know, money, and the first things to get cut are their experts. So they, you know, if they do cover it at all, issues are being covered by people who are not experts or have any training necessarily at all in the issues that they're covering. We, of course, talked with a few weeks ago with a doctor explaining all the bad coverage coverage on the CBC about the organic food report that had come out, and how it wasn't that the doctor disagreed with the report, it's that the news people who were covering the story, and the story went absolutely viral, sort of made its way all the way across the airwaves. They, you know, they just didn't understand it. They just didn't understand how to read the scientific report. And so I think that, I mean, that's definitely part of it. Part of the problem is that, you know, the real news sources are either misinforming people by accident, you know, without even going to intentional misinformation. You know, we'll sort of leave Fox News out of this for a second. but, you know, even outside of sort of intentional misinformation, there's all this unintentional bad information that's coming out because people don't understand how to process the information. And then people read it in a newspaper and assume that therefore, you know, these people are experts and they've done tons of research, when a lot of the time, you know, these articles are thrown together in the last minute to meet a deadline, done by people who don't really have any background on what they're talking about. And, you know, and that's kind of giving them the most benefit of the doubt possible. So it's I think it's no surprise that the vast majority of the pieces that are being put out are opinion pieces.
Well, I think opinion pieces carry hold a lot of sway. I think a lot of people rely on them for analysis of the news. There's and like you say, people are generally not, you know, scientifically literate, so they can't read these reports and decipher the language, and they rely on you know, so-called experts to tell them what it means. And it's just a tragedy of the highest order that in the nation that consumes, you know, 20% of the world's energy, that there's no coherent discussion about climate change. And of course, you know, if Romney wins, the GOP is you know, ideologically opposed to action on climate change. And you know, even if Obama wins, the electorate is so concerned about the economy that they're not going to tolerate any perceived threat to the economy, which is always the false dichotomy with environmental choices. And so there will be no global leadership on climate change. The world's second largest emitter will still be doing nothing, and the pressure on Canada to show the political pressure on Canada will be absolutely zero. So I'm sure you can call me Dr. Doom, but I don't think
call you Dr. Doom. Let's be clear.
We just don't have much to look forward to with regards to the climate change debate. And again, you know, if news, you know, I'll give a shout out to our fundraising, though. This is definitely why you need to support shows like the Green Majority, that you know, all of us are educated on the topic, and we have the sense to discern, you know, accurate news from inaccurate news, and we vet what we're talking about, and we interview people who are genuinely experts on what they're talking about. And you know, if you can't trust the mainstream media, you've got to. And with just the urgency of environmental news in today's reality, it's vital to support a news show like the Green Majority that gives accurate information.